Thanks so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Judy Pilak. Judy sitting in for Wendy. Our guest is Akilah Easter, making a return visit to the show. Akilah is a lifestyle expert and etiquette coach. And when do we need etiquette rules more than at the holidays? Akilah, thanks for being here. How are you?
Thanks for having me again,
so
you guys.
So good to see you.
Nice
Hi,
to see
Akilah.
You.
I know.
I heard your previous
conversation. Let's jump in. Let's jump right in. You're 100% on Judy's side, and why wouldn't you be?
Because, okay, you do not bring extra food to somebody's house during the holidays. And I know that seems like the nicest thing to do. You want to bring things that will not have the host have to find a container. Mm-hmm. Exactly what Judy said. They should not have to go out of their way to accommodate something that you're bringing. A nice bottle of good wine, not the little, you know.
Always bar, accepted right? at my house.
Exactly. Good wine.
Ernest and Julio Gallo, both Gallo brothers. Go all
okay,
out.
We're going to move away from that book. All right. But the things, because a host has already prepared her menu. She knows exactly what she wants, he or she, let me be politically correct.
Yeah.
They know what they want their table to look like.
Yeah.
So you bringing in this weird concoction that you wanted to try this year is not going to help out. And it's actually an inconvenience.
But you could see where on paper somebody says, I'm helping the host or hostess out. I'm making their life and job easier.
It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense. But actually, you're not.
Except I mentioned desserts because I feel like always I could put another dessert down.
Right.
I usually have a little dessert area or table. Desserts, that's fine. As long as I don't have to cook it or put the whipped cream on it or, you know, it's got to be prepared. But and people do tend to bring that along with the wine.
Mm-hmm,
thank you for the liquor every time. But yeah, desserts. Otherwise, I'm not cooking your food.
Wine, flowers, cookies, chocolates, those are things that people can have kind of at the end of dinner for their palate, something to that effect, but not a whole part of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
People tend to want to bring something. We just have it in us. They're having us over. We should bring something. What else? What's allowable? Now, Christmas is different because you're bringing Christmas presents, but Thanksgiving, what should you bring?
Right. I like novelty gifts. So maybe they have a lot of, you know, cards of humanity, those
whoopee
different
cushions,
types.
The fly in the ice cube.
Oh, no.
Want some peanut brittle, Akilah? Open the peanut brittle. I think you'll
now,
enjoy
there's
it.
There's kids there, sure. Yeah. That'll work for them. Things that are more tangible, a coffee table books, those different types of things. I like photography. If you're coming in from out of town, maybe a photography book from your city, like New York City or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Something that you can have a little story associated with it.
Yeah.
But nothing that's going to make the host or hostess have to accommodate that.
Let
me give you my
sense.
Favorite.
Yes,
I love candles.
Yes.
Oh,
candles are a great
gift.
That's
perfect.
Why
not?
Such a
that's
great,
on everybody's
or
list.
Especially for Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't buy Christmas wear.
I
absolutely love getting it.
Yes.
So when someone comes with the cookies and they say, keep the platter, I love it. Because then, you know, I'm not obligated. If I don't want it, I just donate it to Goodwill. But I always keep it. And I do put it out because
and
I have it.
People bring good ones. They bring nice.
And hopefully they're not asking for it back at the end of the night. Like, can we clear these off so I can take this
back? Well, why don't we talk about this etiquette? The people who put their name on the bottom of it.
But think about it, Jude. If it's been in their family for a while, they don't want to lose it.
It's plasticware. It's plasticware. Tupperware. It's got the name on the bottom of it. I'm like, I throw that away in the garbage.
Yes.
Oh, but can we talk about people bringing Tupperware, anticipating taking food home?
Oh, yeah.
All right,
how about
you know
that?
What? I tell them to.
Okay.
I mean, they're gonna ask me anyway.
Okay,
don't take my Tupperware.
The host allowed that. The host allowed that.
Yes, that's at my house. It's totally allowed. Bring your own Tupperware.
But what's the rule? Like, do you come right out and ask? You say, "Boy, that meal was so good. One sitting is not enough for me. I'm going to need more."
Control yourself.
You don't want to do that.
You should not be bringing extra stuff. But if you know that there's going to be 20 people at the house, you know there's going to be way too much food that's left over. So the host probably wants to get rid of a lot of things. Your refrigerator can't hold all of that.
Yeah.
And believe me, it took us years to get here. This isn't something that people just showing up. This is my family members who know. And I even tell them, I give them the heads up a few weeks ahead of time. Don't forget, I'm going to have plenty. You know what I did this year?
Huh.
I bought a 20-pound turkey and then I bought a smaller one.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Just for that.
For afterwards.
Bill, because he's a hater.
Yeah.
He's a
that
hater.
Seems
of turkey.
Like way too much
he's
turkey
like,
to me.
Oh, no. It'll
That's
be
all right.
Gone. That
really?
Way,
yes.
Do you
have
turkey sandwiches?
No.
Okay. I'm trying to pull
turkey
this
tetrazzini?
Out.
Nope. Mm-mm. There's no word you can put together with turkey that will win
turkey
you over.
Turkey skin.
Nope.
Turkey jerky?
No, no matter what you say. You can go turkey birthday cake. No, not turkey birthday cake.
Turkey toys?
No. Well, closer.
Glad he can't eat
closer.
Them.
All right. Explain this to me. I used to have a relative. He's no longer with us.
Okay.
Who during the Thanksgiving meal, because there was so much food, he would sit back in his chair at the table and he would unbutton his pants.
Al Bundy. He did the Al Bundy.
Is that called an Al Bundy? You don't want to be unbuttoning your pants at the table, right?
He's so comfortable around his family. Yeah. No, you should not do anything sanitary at the table. That is putting lip gloss on or checking yourself in the mirror for women, messing with your hair. And of course, you don't unbutton your pants.
No, not at the table.
Tell him he should have worn joggers or some type of sweatpants to accommodate that.
It makes for a poor holiday.
And who says anything about that?
This is what was always said. Here he goes again. Oh, everybody was like, we know it's Thanksgiving.
At some age, what can you do?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, there's no defense. All right, we'll take a quick break and then discuss this further. Akilah Easter is here. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us. Bill Leff, it's Judy Pilak. Wendy is away for a few days for the holidays. Our guest is Akilah Easter. She's a lifestyle expert and etiquette coach, frequent guest here on the show. And we're going to talk about an ebook that you have written in a little while. But first, I don't know if you remember this, but in the spring, I attended a party. And when you were going to the party, there was a sign right by the door that said, it said the word political discussion, right, as if it was coming out of somebody's mouth. And then one of those Ghostbusters lines through it, as if to say, once you pass through this realm, there's no discussion of politics. With the holidays coming up, how do you handle that? Everybody has different opinions about politics. What do you do?
Well, you know what? That challenges the people who want to talk. They're going to bring it up when you say, don't talk about this, right? So I try to tell people to not even mention it until it comes up.
Yeah.
So if it does start to come up, that's when you decide to set your house rules.
Right.
Like, we are not going to demean anybody. You're going to respect other people's opinions. And you know to tell that uncle not to have too many drinks because they'll say whatever they want.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So you gotta gauge that.
This moment's coming up. We're out of cranberries.
Right.
Obama. That's how it always plays out.
Thanks, Obama.
Where did that come from? Yeah. Right. So when those ground rules are set, you can set a time limit. Say, this is how long we're going to talk about politics. Then we're going to circle back to something else that's more related to Thanksgiving. But you set the rules.
But this year, Akilah, as you know, it's very
hard.
Tough.
Everything turns back to politics.
It really is.
You almost can't really talk about current events.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Because that it will happen.
Yeah.
You just have to have a certain level of respect. And when you're with your family, though, it is hard to have that respect. Because I know how I am with my siblings. We say whatever we want to each other. But you can set those rules. And I always say set a time limit. And even put a timer up. Be like, look, this is how long we're going to talk about this. Get it all out. This is for the entire year. You probably haven't seen those family members all year.
Yeah.
Get it all out and let's move on.
Or how about you go around the table and you say, you get 2 minutes.
There you go.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I might do that this year.
Would that play out? Is that
I like
a good
that.
Idea?
You get, what do you have to hold something only this person's able to talk,
the
right?
Conch.
Yeah. Oh, right. You know? And no one, because whole, yeah. I think
like
when people have
Flies.
The floor sometimes, mm-hmm. it's they run out of words sometimes.
Right.
It's about that shouting match that in your face
that challenge.
Yeah, there's so much, mm-hmm. but if you just talk and you could get 2 minutes to present your case,
mm-hmm.
that might be a little bit more difficult.
And it's probably only going to be two or three people, and you know who your family members are who want to talk about it, and they're mm-hmm. going to say the same thing they've been saying every single year. So
it's nothing new.
You know how to rebuttal it in a sense politely, but you that's good. You have them hold something. 2 minutes, that's a good time. And because 2 minutes is a long time.
It's a long time.
Right.
I would say
that.
A minute.
Yeah.
Two minutes
don't realize
is way
that.
Long. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just, you determine, but allow the host to determine the rules of the house that day.
This mm-hmm. is why I think it's better to sit at the kids' table than the adults' table. Because the conversation is more pure. It's more fun at the kids' table. Yes, you have to
what
cut some
people's
food.
What type of conversations are you having, Bill, at the kids' table?
You know what?
I usually have to have someone cut my food.
Right. What about this situation? Inevitably, during the holidays, somebody's bringing somebody into the fold for the first time.
Oh.
Somebody just started dating somebody,
right.
So they're coming along and they're meeting the whole family.
Yes.
How should that be handled?
Well, the person who is bringing them, they should introduce that person. Don't just bring them in and have them just be quiet,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
They need to be the one bringing them into conversations. What do you think? Judy about this, you know, those different types of things. It is their responsibility, and they should warn that person ahead of time. This person's going to say this. This person, they should give them a background, not just push them into the family.
Right.
Like, my family's crazy. Here we go. Right. But let them know specifically what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They need to know what crazy is.
Yes.
And what crazy looks like and what crazy says.
Exactly.
Don't be surprised when Uncle Earl mentions Wyatt Earp. He loves Wyatt Earp. Don't be shocked when he starts talking about Wyatt Earp.
Don't engage. Don't engage.
Just nod politely.
Right.
Ask him to pass something. It's always how it works.
But prep them. Definitely make sure they are prepared. Don't just send them in there.
It's so tough because when you grow up in and around a family, you kind of know their ins and outs. And all of a sudden, there's somebody who's meeting everybody for the first time. That's a hard day. That's a really tough day.
And it's overwhelming. You can be emotionally drained from that process.
Yeah.
And that's why that preparation is key. And you know your partner, you'll know how they can respond to certain situations. So you kind of give them the heads up of how to run in. I know how you respond to certain things. You probably want to stay away from this.
Yeah.
And sometimes I even give the heads up to the family members, certain family members that I know might just, for whatever, it might be more of a challenge.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
So I let them know, hey, so-and-so is bringing, you know, their girlfriend.
Best behavior.
Yeah. And so,
behavior.
Just to give that. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, it just gives them a little bit more time to digest.
And don't ask the questions when you're getting married, all those things, like with the kids coming home from college, you mentioned it's the same thing. How are classes going? What are you doing up there? It's the same questions. I've seen social media posts where the students just answers everything. They're wearing a t-shirt answering every question that the family member is going to ask.
Well, what are some other topics maybe that are acceptable to talk about at the dinner table?
Well, you know, we were thinking about this, and one good idea, I think a lot of times our elders, we don't know about their past, right? You know that they've been in your life all your life, but what were they like when they were your age or when they were younger? So maybe go around the table and ask, can you tell us what it was like when you were in your 20s?
Or how
do you think that the environment is? Well, that may turn political, but talk about the environment then versus now. Or what is your favorite memory, or what's one thing you regret? And you can start to learn kind of about the history of your family just by sitting at the table.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That happened to me personally. I actually sat down one day and started talking to my grandfather. And let me tell you, there were things people did not know in my family about him.
Really?
The cousins. For example, that he was born here. We all assumed.
He came over from Europe.
Because our parents were all born in Europe.
Yeah.
But he was born here and he went back and he had all the. So that was shocking.
What a revelation.
I was in high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have a family that doesn't like to talk that much about.
That's
you know
my
what?
Family.
Now things have changed. And if you can get that family history of, especially if your family members came over from wherever.
Yes.
Right.
So interesting.
Yeah,
and now we, all the cousins and the cousins' kids, we have started a Facebook group.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
To trade information and who knows what. And so perfect time.
But I think we think we know. Like, we know our parents. Like, I know my mom, right?
But you do.
But you don't. Like, and this is, I'm not to sound more or not to get morbid, but writing an obituary, what do you put in there? If you're responsible for writing that, you may like, well, I know they were born on this date. They had us. That's it.
So, Akilah, it's okay to ask grandma and grandpa at the dinner table, what should I put in your obituary? That's fine, right? That's not offensive.
Oh, you like daisies. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's fun.
No, but that is a time of reflection where, like, oh, my gosh, I really don't know a lot about you.
Right.
And really, they're probably, I think we don't ask our family members a lot of things we ask our friends when we're getting to meet people.
Right.
You know, what's your favorite color? What did you do? Things like that.
You had a life before me.
Right. But maybe those questions. Questions, just the easy questions.
Right.
You know, what did you like to do when you were little?
Yeah.
Akilah, we don't have much time. Okay. We're down to a minute, but tell us about this ebook. You wrote this a while ago, but you're revamping it, right?
I'm revamping it in a couple weeks. It's going to come out to where it's Dining Etiquette by Akilah CT.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing is I'm giving you the things that you forget when you're planning a party. How much wine do you need for a party of 10? People just know I'm just going to get 4 bottles, but that's not going to accommodate. You know, I give all of those little tidbits. I give you all the different types of dining, brunch, lunch, dinner, what you should wear to those events, cocktails. So it's a very quick ebook of giving you a quick go-to guide for dining.
Mm-hmm. And people can find it where? Jude?
Wait, how much wine do I need for 10 people?
Depends on who they are.
So you need
for
about...
For your family, a tankard of wine.
About four bottles for 10 people. There's about four glasses of wine
per bottle.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, so you can get that on my website, akilasiti.com. It's A-K-I-L-A-H-S-I-T-I. That's my name, .com. Yeah. I'm having a dining etiquette class on December 1st, so you can register for a course for that as well. And it's a quick 1 hour if you want to polish up, if you're going out to dinner with your boss or something like that, and you don't know which fork is which, you can come to my class and I'll teach you.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. That is a great idea.
Great to see you. Have a happy holiday, and we'll expect to see you soon.
Yes, you will.
That's Akilah Easter, everybody. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's right here on WGN Radio.